What authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Jesus said to them, And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, they said, the first. And Jesus said to them, Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Peace and grace to you from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I was so tired that Sunday. It really had not been a very good week. My new church was in conflict about our commitment to this interfaith Thanksgiving service. And the youth program was being criticized and critiqued for not being as much fun as the one at the Presbyterian church down the street. I was new. All that just made me tired. I decided to go for a hike in a park. As I drove along, I put in a brand new CD that I had bought at some church conference. This was time before iTunes, so I had a CD in my car. It was a CD by the name of the guy, David Lamott. He is a peacemaker, a folk singer, but on that day, he almost caused me to get into a car accident. Sing me a song about Jesus, he started. But please don't sing about the poor. I've already had a long day. I don't want to hear it anymore. Sing me a song about Jesus that will make me feel happy inside. Sing me a song about forgiveness that will make this lifestyle feel justified. Sing me a song about Jesus. If I had not been driving, I think I might have dropped to my knees because I could have been the one singing that song. You see, I wanted to follow Jesus, and I wanted to live out my faith in action, but not right then. I was tired, and I was so annoyed. So why couldn't I just work with the poor another day? I would gladly tell the good news of God's love just a little bit later. I think we're all here. We come to church because we want to follow Jesus, right? We want to live out our faith. But then life happens. We get busy. We get tired. We get annoyed. Some of us are doing our best just to keep all the balls up in the air. Some of us who are retired cannot believe how quickly the days fill up. So can't we do God's work when we feel a little bit more settled or when we have a little bit of free time, you know? For now, can't we just talk about Jesus who held little children and spoke about these easy burdens? I think we'll get to the peacemaking and the justice-seeking work in a little while. So Jesus, if you would just give us a little break here. The religious leaders in the temple that day, they wanted a break from Jesus. Before the conversations that we heard in today's gospel reading, Jesus had turned over the tables of the money changers, and he had challenged the tradition that the religious leaders provided and protected. In response, they had a few questions for Jesus. They said, "Who do you think you are?" they asked him. "Who gave you the authority to come down here and tell us about God and what faithful living looks like? What seminary did you attend? Which synod ordained you? How big is your church, Jesus? And how many years of experience do you have in this thing?" Now, Jesus had been on this road before, down this road. He knew what they were doing. He knew that they were trying to get him into an argument. And so he responded by asking a question of his own. He asked them, "Who gave John the Baptist his authority?" It was a trick question, you see. There was no easy answer. So what did the religious leaders do? They pleaded ignorance. And they said, "Oh, we don't know." But Jesus wasn't going to let them off the hook that easily. He was not going to sing them a little song to make them happy and satisfied. Instead, he did what he always did. He told them a story. It was a parable. You heard it. A father approaches his two sons and asks if they will go and work in the vineyard for him. The first son immediately says no, but then later has a change of heart and goes to work. The second one, the keener, he says, "I'll go," but he never gets around to it. "Who," Jesus asked, "did the will of the father?" Well, obviously, they declared the first one. Yes, he was wrong in the beginning, but he realized it, and then he changed. The second son said all the right things, but did nothing. And Jesus, as you can see, he seizes the moment, and he tells the religious leaders that they just convicted themselves. Why? Because they were acting just like the second son. They said all the right things. They believed all the essential tenets. They passed all their ordination exams. But even while they were saying yes to God, they were acting out a big no. They all had signed up for work, but they never showed up. And Jesus wasn't done. And by the way, he continued, "Those racketeers and the prostitutes, all those that you toss out, they're all going to the kingdom ahead of you. They may have said no at first, but they've changed." And you know what? On Friday of that same week, those religious leaders took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. You see, he was leveling a pretty serious charge against them, and they could not take it. They had talked the talk of faith for so long that they didn't even notice that somewhere along the way, they had completely stopped walking the walk of faith. I don't know about you, but Jesus' charge gets me. It gets me too. And I think it is why David's song hooked me that afternoon. "Sing me a song about Jesus, but please don't sing about the poor. I've already had a long day. I don't want to hear it anymore." In my car somewhere on the highway, I think I realized that I had been wanting to hear all about Jesus, but only if I were not required to change anything. I would believe the right way. I would say the right things. But please, don't require me to live differently, to ask hard questions, to look at my checkbook or my calendar and get real honest about my priorities. In our Lutheran tradition, We have a word. We have a word for the discrepancy between what we say we believe and what we actually do. Do you know what that word is? Do you know what that word is? It's called sin. Missing the mark. Missing the mark. Sin is inevitable and it's forgivable, but it should never become tolerable. I'm sure many of you have heard the quotation from Søren Kierkegaard. He said, "Jesus wants followers, not admirers." The world, you see, is full of people who will say and believe all the right things. But what God needs, Jesus seems to be saying, is people who will go where God calls them. God needs people who will put their feet to faith, who will sign up and show up for God's work of this peacemaking and friend being and mercy granting and justice seeking in all aspects of their lives, not just on Sundays. We all know that a church's budget communicates far more than just what it costs to run a church. It reflects our priorities. We spend money on what is important to us. We do that in our own lives, and we do it as a church. So the leadership of this congregation, the church council, they work very hard to make sure that we are doing our best to put our feet to our faith, especially now that we are looking at our new vision. And why do we do it? Not because we are scared God won't love us, or because we're trying to earn our worth, or because we are frightened that if we don't, we won't make it past the pearly gates. Nah. Rather, don't we want to put our feet to our faith because we are grateful for the way God claims our lives? Don't we want to be part of the way God is transforming this world? Don't we desire to sign up and show up because our faith has changed us and we can't go back the way we were, no matter how tired or how busy we feel? You see, something inside of us won't let us go that easily. After we get a taste of living out our baptism, we realize that substituting our beliefs for our obedience just won't fill us up anymore. There's a fancy theological word for that too. You know what that is? It's called sanctification, being made holy. So we will all continue to have days when we look in the mirror and we realize that our mouths are moving a mile a minute, but our feet are firmly planted still. We'll continue to have moments when we only want to hear happy songs about Jesus, and the church will continue to wrestle with who we are called to be in this community and how we, as St. Philip's Lutheran Church, put our collective feet to our faith and our money where our mouths are. On some days, my friends, we will do it really well, and on some days, we will fail miserably and miss the mark. But like the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the two sons and the religious leaders, we are all called to keep at it, to keep on turning again and again away from the brokenness back into God's claim on us. And hopefully, as we do so, we will keep each other from getting comfortable with signing up but not showing up. And maybe it might even be that when we look into the mirror one day, we might find that our mouths and our feet are moving in sync more often than they are not. That we are gratefully, even if little clumsily, doing this dance called discipleship as individuals, as families, as congregation, that we are putting our feet to our faith and being transformed more and more into God's hopes, what we might be. And somehow, somehow through us, this community and this world is being transformed more and more into God's new creation. May it be so. Amen.